Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into yet another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nestler. It was a dark and stormy night. A toxic tidal wave of biblical proportions, whipped up by huge hurricanes and terrible twisters, threatened to inundate the good citizens and the bad ones, too. The emperor round around with no clothes and no clue, tweeting and bleeding, a caustic rant, fear and loathing, filled every sleepy head. And so I sought shelter from the storm under Alya's umbrella. And what did I find? Well, good friends, I found another writ large coming to our valley next week. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands on the radio and receive the healing vibrations emanating from our first guests on Express Yourself today. Alya Howe is back. Hi, Alya.
Hi, Luke.
How are you?
I'm grand. You?
I'm very well, too. Thanks. And Kate Howe is here, too. Hi, Kate.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cindy Hirschfeld is here. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Luke. I loved that intro.
Did you?
Awesome.
I thought we'd have a little fun.
Why not?
I think we need to recruit you for writ large.
Uh-huh. Ooh,
I can give up my spot. If
no.
I should have just done a little pedantic little ditty or something.
Oh, no.
And then also, live on the telephone from Denver is Nicole Hogg. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Luke.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm stealing the intro. It was excellent.
All right. Well, let's behold and be healed. Is that the idea of this writ large or any writ large?
Do you know, I've been thinking martinis this last week, shaken and stirred. I like the shaken and stirred.
Uh-huh. I thought it was shaken, not stirred.
I think we do both.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we shake and stir, inspire and really touch the hearts of the community with storytelling. It has a power and a momentum that is really beyond my words to explain, other than there seems to be a healing and a hunger to sit and listen without needing to respond and receive true stories from our community members' lives. And then I also think it's absolutely wonderful to be listened to and not interrupted. Which is kind of fun too.
Oh, is that because they're on the stage?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Except so for she turns the red light on when it's me. I get interrupted.
Right.
Is that because that's your mom?
No, it's because I ramble.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, tell me about the character of this one. I mean, judging from the ladies that are involved, it's... Oh, and you have a token male.
We do. It's a powerhouse lineup. There are six storytellers, five women and one man. And as we have three of the women here today, I don't think I want to speak much about them. Say hi to...
Okay, we'll let them speak for themselves.
Absolutely.
Cindy, let's start with you.
Well, I don't want to give away too much of my story. You'll just have to come and listen to hear about a situation that I found myself in that I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I would.
We didn't imagine it either, Cindy.
But I will say, just talking about the storytelling in general, I was inspired to do it because I hate getting up in public and speaking.
Now, wait a minute. I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought, you know, I like to come up with challenges for myself.
Okay.
And after my husband, Todd Hartley, had done a writ large, and he also performs doing stand-up comedy, I thought, well, I want to take the stage for a change. And that writ large thing sounds kind of fun.
Huh.
So I got on Alya's list. And I still don't enjoy public speaking at a meeting or whatever. I don't even particularly like rehearsing the story, but this will be my third storytelling session coming up next week. And I found that once I'm up there and telling it, I don't know, something happens and I really enjoy it. And then you finish and I feel exhilarated.
Huh. Is that because of the applause?
Oh, no.
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Well, no, I mean, sure, that's gratifying if people applaud. But I know, I think something about needing that challenge personally for myself and then being able to share something. And I've had the other great thing about it is having people come up afterwards and say that a particular part of my story really touched them is pretty amazing.
So mission accomplished if you touch somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Is that your sense too, Kate?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I think there's something about the vulnerability, the fear that everyone experiences when they have to or have chosen to speak in public. But there's something that Alia is in particular really talented in guiding us toward, which is that moment where suddenly you are very naked on stage. And you're telling a story that you know because it's a true story about you and you've been through it a couple of times and you know the plot points. But there are these moments where you're sort of confronted with and sitting with something that's really real and it's really quiet in the room and everyone is feeling it and everyone gets that it's real. And it shifts something and it's palpable. You can feel it across the room. You can feel it as the performer. And it has this sort of really strong effect on the whole community. And that is kind of the magical piece that I'm really attracted to, in spite of how scary it is to stand up and do it.
Huh. So, wow, in light of that, the applause is meaningless.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's nice. It's cool
when people, mostly
for me, like applause is like, I'm done. I can die now. But that moment, and my son did one of these when he was 11 and stood up in front of a room full of grown-ups and told a story. And it was the first time he had done something like that. And he was standing in the back of the room going, I'm definitely going to throw up. I definitely do not want to do this. I definitely want to run from the room. And that same experience happened to him. He was about 3 minutes into his story when he stopped telling the story and started sort of living it with the people that were experiencing it with him. And this shift happened that was just like powerful and really cool. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
So that's the object.
That's an outcome.
That's the reason to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. For anyone to do it, regardless.
Is that your experience too, Nicole, with that?
I would say definitely so. I would echo a lot of what these ladies have beautifully stated. I think the art of storytelling is relating the condition of being human and making it universal so that it is bigger than the storyteller. It's bigger than applause. It's allowing that universality to permeate the room and to, I think I don't want to speak for the other storytellers, but I'd be curious if they have similar experiences, and that a lot of times, whether someone, I've performed a story or whether it's something someone has read of mine, someone will say back to me, oh my goodness, that's me. That's me. I just didn't know how to say it. And so I think that is the privilege and the gift of a storyteller, is to be able to create that and put that into words, be it written or verbal. Yeah.
I'm guessing there's two parts to this. There's writing the piece, and then there's performing the piece. Is that true?
Yes.
Three. Rehearsing it.
For me, those go out of order. It's perform it, rehearse it, write it.
Oh, interesting.
Tear it down.
So it changes after you say it aloud a few times.
Yeah.
Is that your discovery?
Yeah. I think it's living and breathing each and every time. It's different every time. It lives and breathes in our own, as a storyteller, it lives and breathes differently in our experience because we're not the same person that we were when we first performed it or when we first wrote it.
Or when we first experienced it.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Huh.
I was going to say one of the great things about working with Alia on this is that she has this magical way of teasing out what are the really strong elements of your story and helping you learn as you're practicing what it is you really want to convey, what kind of mood. I mean, just the practicing, I've learned a lot too. The first time I came, it was so unique to Alia asked us to act out our stories just all at the same time in a room, non-verbally. And just go through your whole story and move your body, you know, as whatever you're doing in the story or the emotions you're feeling. That was a really different but effective way to get at the essence of what you want to say.
Huh. How many times have you rehearsed for this?
This one, I'm telling the same story that I told at a a last event that we all did together in December at the Wheeler. So I'm just re-rehearsing now. I haven't really delved into it yet.
Well, two of the storytellers all year are not locals, Nicole in Denver and Rosemary Watola-Tromer in Telluride.
Yes, this is the same lineup that we had up at the Wheeler Opera House in December. These storytellers are powerful, and these stories bear hearing more than one time. And as we Carbondalians know, that we don't often with ease trek up to Aspen to hear things. So coming down to the temporary, thanks to the amazing community programming of Ryan Honey and Mark Breslin, we have a more down valley hub for these stories to be heard. Mm. And I can say, even if you did come and hear them in December, they will be different this time through, because as we evolve, and when you speak and share a story with a friend or in public with a larger body, the story lands in you in a different way. You begin to see different truths for yourself within it. And so each time we retell the story, there is a greater learning of who we are within the story in this present moment in time.
Huh. These are all true stories.
Yes.
It's not fiction.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
And they're rehearsed to a certain extent, but not so much that they're scripted. And I think that's one of the things that Alia is really, I'm so grateful to be able to work with her, because first of all, she's mean. No, I'm sorry. She's very, to the point, she's very honest. She's not mean at all. She's lovely. But she will love it out of you with very few words. She's like, say it again in half the time. Go now. That's not what you meant to say. Try this. And it's this beautiful sort of distillation practice that allows you to get to a place where all you have left is truth. So you can just say it. And it doesn't sound scripted or rehearsed. It just sounds present, and that's powerful.
Wow,
that's present and raw.
Yeah, raw. Raw is the right word.
And we're not reading anything. That part of the deal is we can't have our story written out in front of us that we're reading off it or use notes or anything like that. So that adds an extra element of scariness to it. I'd say, even though it's your own story, you know what's going to happen.
But because Alia builds this incredible sort of umbrella of trust, you know, we trust her implicitly. So when she starts to strip it away and we get more vulnerable and more present with it and we surrender more to trusting her, it really does become that simplification.
I think Elliot hits on an important point and cultivates through her experience the notion, if you pull a small person onto your lap and ask them, what do you want to read? The first thing they pick out is their favorite book. They want to hear that story again and again. They want to integrate it differently again and again. And so I think there's really a deep emotional intelligence into the hearing that experience and noticing the differences in how you experience the story.
Hmm. So your challenge, Alia, is uncovering the layers of each story or allowing them to reveal those layers.
Yes, and to notice the filler words and the tangents. The story has a certain momentum, and then to have a conversation about what's really important to you at this moment in the story, not what was really important back then, but how is it living with you now, and how is that relevant in what's going on in today's political climate, in today's local climate, what's showing up. And so we contextualize the story both personally, community-wise, and nationally, globally, hopefully.
Huh.
So we have a look at the microcosm to the macrocosm and come in and out. And to be honest, this group of powerhouses need very little work and need a lot of my listening and just allowing the stories to come on out. These are skillful, professional people who are on this lineup.
Love it. Are you girls
What
going?
Am I doing on it?
You're a skillful professional person on the lineup.
Are you ladies going for laughs or tears or both? Or is there an
All
implicit
the,
moral to the story?
all of the above, Luke, right? I think that's the essence. There's so much about the condition of being human that brings the laughter and the tears all in a single breath. And I think these stories, as I've experienced them, they are so powerful that way, to allow that spectrum of emotion in a safe space and to feel that connection in the room and that being held, as you said, when you open, to be held and to be healed.
Yeah, I think Nicole she hit it, because we're trying to be authentic and alive and relate the experience in a way that's really transparent and true. And so when you do that in your real life, or you experience something in your real life, it can go in 30 seconds from hysterical laughter to tears. So I don't think any of us are going for anything other than, these are the points I know are a story that connect me to you as human, that may resonate with you. And from that happens shocked silence and laughter and tears. You did that to me. I cried all the way through your story.
You did.
I was touched. I was like in the back going, oh no, what am I gonna do?
I think if you make somebody cry, mission accomplished, as far as I'm concerned. You know, everybody's all squeamish, like, oh, I'm sorry that I made you cry, but that's a badge of honor, if you ask me.
It is, as is the laughter. And what we find funny one day absolutely guts us the next day. And I don't know why. Is it in the telling? Is it in where we are that day? We don't plan. I don't coach to plan for a certain, this is where we'll get the laughs. I coach to feel your story. Share it with the audience. They'll feed you back as much as you give them. And see what happens. Take pauses. That it's your time.
And there's no props. It's not a multimedia presentation. It's
no,
one.
No, it's just us and a microphone and the audience.
Well, let's talk about some of the details. It's Thursday at the Temporary.
Thursday, April 5th at the Temporary. The doors open at 6:30 p.m. The show starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are $10 in advance at the Temporary's website, $15 at the door. And, one of our storytellers, Rosemary Wartola-Trommer, is also a well-known poet. And I persuaded Rosemary to stay through Friday morning. Rosemary lives in Telluride. And she is going to teach a workshop on the art of showing up. It's completely free. So please, this is for you, community. It's from 10 until 1 p.m. You don't have to attend the whole time if you can't, but she is a masterful teacher and says sometimes writing a poem is good medicine. The process can help us keep our heads and hearts where our bodies are, inviting us to return to the present moment again and again, just like your experience at Writ Large. And no matter how busy you are or not, this art of paying attention to the here and now has a wonderful way of inspiring us to live better and to make better our world, while at the same time allowing us to see ourselves and the world as good enough. This workshop is for you, bought by Rosemary, and we'll read and write and share poems. So right after Thursday, April 5th, Writ Large, into Friday morning, 10 till 1. Just come and join us.
Maybe I'll skip work and show up.
Yeah. And you know what? She likes to call them play shops. I know that for a fact. And so that says it all right there. Yeah. Alia, thank you for joining the
show. Thank you, Luke, for your support.
Yes, of course. Cindy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Kate, thanks.
Thanks so much for having us. It was fun to chat.
And Nicole, all the way from Denver, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, stay with me. There is more to come on the show. Oh, there's a little taste of Antibolus, and it tastes good, doesn't it? Yahoo! Antibolus coming to our Fair Valley tomorrow night for a free show at Galena and Cooper in downtown Aspen. And be sure to stay tuned tomorrow afternoon here on KDNK at 1:30 as Antibolus pays a little visit to KDNK to talk about their music and their message. Big band Afrobeat. What's not to like about that? Okay, ski season is winding down and vacations seem so close you can almost touch them. Before you go, though, treat yourself to a few of the Aspen Shorts Fest programs. You have 5 days next week and two venues to choose from as Aspen Film brings the 27th annual Aspen Shorts Fest to the Wheeler Opera House and the Crystal Theater. Aspen Film's Regna Jones appeared last Tuesday on KDNK to tell us about this year's festival.
Regna Jones, Director of Operations and Education from Aspen Film. Good morning, Regna.
Good morning. Hi, KDNK listeners.
Thank you so much for coming in. And this is the 39th annual Aspen Shorts Fest coming up?
Yeah, actually, it's the 27th edition of Aspen Shorts Fest, 39 years on Film Fest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we have a trifecta of film festivals. Film Fest in September, and then Shorts Fest in April, and then Academy screenings during the holidays.
So you mentioned the Academy. So what does it mean for this to be an Oscar qualifying short film celebration? What does that mean?
Okay, so basically the caliber of films that we're bringing through are such that if they were to win in our competition, so it's a juried competition, mm-hmm. They can qualify to be Oscar nominated. And we have had Oscar nominations go through and winners also from our festival.
It's so amazing that people in Aspen and in Carbondale get a chance to see these potential future Oscar winners and be part of that process.
Yeah, it's, you know, our slogan is independent by nature. So I think Shorts Fest is sort of the crown jewel of that idea where we're bringing emerging filmmakers from all over the world. It's an international filmmaker. This year we have 29 countries represented.
Wow.
77 films that were culled from 2,500 submissions. So it's quite the process to land the films that we ended up bringing, but it's certainly exciting. And again, these are emerging artists. Some of them are well-established filmmakers as well. We have Dev Patel. We have a short film from him.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, featuring Armie Hammer. So
wow.
You have a little bit of that, but then you
celebrity
don't know.
Status.
Yeah, yep. So you have that, but you also have these new voices in filmmaking.
So you start April 3rd through the 8th, is that right?
Correct.
And you're screening in multiple locations.
Yes. So we're primarily at the Wheeler Opera House mm-hmm. in Aspen, but we've been screening at the Crystal Theater in Carbondale for, I would say, decades. So that's exciting. It's just on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 7th and the 8th. There's four programs down here. And there are different programs from the ones that are being screened up in Aspen.
Well, I want to ask you about that. When you have so many great films, how do you organize them? How do people kind of figure out where to plug in? If someone's working all the time, they only have one or two shifts, they have to pick something, versus you have, I'm sure, people who try to go to everything.
Right. So essentially, things are organized by program. So you basically have a 90-minute stretch of films, maybe 6 to 7 to 8 films, depending on how long they are. And the idea of each program is that within the program, you get a cross-section of the types of movies. So documentaries, comedy, animation, narrative. But that each program sort of leads you on a journey in and of itself. And so there's sort of that arc, you know, within the 90 minutes of emotion and juxtaposition of story and tenor and tone. So you know, you really can't go wrong, I don't think. You know, just pick a program and come check it out.
And but only certain programs will feature Armie Hammer. We have to be careful with
Correct.
What we choose.
Yeah. Depending on, yeah, you definitely want to read through the program guide, and everything's online at aspenfilm.org. So you can read about the films and see what looks interesting to you. But yeah, you can pretty much be guaranteed that within any program, you're going to get a wide array of films and filmmakers.
And so this is the 27th annual Aspen Shorts Fest, April 3rd through the 8th. More information at aspenfilm.org. And then where do people pick up the physical guide? Because I know that's one of the great, you know, a lot of people like to have that and spend time with it, you know.
Yeah. So our presenting sponsor is Aspen Times, so they do a great job in inserting the program into the actual paper four times leading up to the festival. So you can watch for that. And then we are selling tickets for Carbondale down at the Bonfire Coffee House. They have guides down there as well.
So that's something for Carbondale listeners and Down Valley listeners to know, is that there's just the shows on the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, not this coming weekend, but next weekend, that'll be at the Crystal. And when those tickets sell, they're gone, right?
Correct.
So do you get sellouts? Is that a thing?
Definitely down here in Carbondale, because it's a small venue, which is great. We do have one Q&A scheduled for the Saturday 5:15 show. So that will be an interesting one. We're bringing our filmmakers down. And then up in Aspen, I think we have over 50 guests right now scheduled to come. So there's pretty much Q&A after every program up in Aspen.
So it's going to be in demand too. So advanced tickets are probably very highly encouraged.
Yep.
And in terms of the actual organization, Aspen Film, tell us a little bit more about the big picture there. Are we talking, is it 40 years?
Yeah, we're coming up on our 40th year.
That's amazing.
I know. It's pretty awesome.
It's such a privilege to get to be, you know, I lived in Denver before I moved here, and I was sort of harumph when I first left Denver. I was like, well, I'm just not going to have the kind of access that I need to get my fix, right? You know,
right.
And in fact, Aspen Film does so much to make sure that we do have access to international cinema, to art house movies, to documentaries. It seems like this mission has got to be something that really inspires you, you know, to be a part of.
Yeah, it really does. And I've actually been working a lot in the education program over the past 4 or 5 years, which people don't necessarily think of Aspen Film and the education program, but especially during Shorts Fest, we bring filmmakers into the classroom all up and down the valley, from Aspen all the way down to Rifle. Students come to the festival. It's all free for local students. We have young filmmaker labs that people participate in. So we're really out there trying to get film, and you know, media is such an important driver in our society right now, and everyone has access to all sorts of stuff. So we sort of see ourselves as curators of, you know, what's worth watching.
Just how we feel about new music
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we hope that people can kind of depend and trust us to bring what's interesting and hot and new and diverse, you know, which I think is a similarity with the radio and telling, you know, stories that people don't normally hear. And it's sort of this democratizing medium. You know, everybody loves film. Everyone appreciates radio. I think they should, at least, both of those things.
And this director of operations and education for Aspen Film, Regna Jones, it seems like if people just want to consume, they can just sit back and listen to KD&K. They can go to films. But I didn't realize that Aspen Film, like KD&K, is really pushing people to be the media, to learn, you know, filmmakers, just like we train from ages 8 to 92 here to have DJs. I didn't realize that educational piece is so big at Aspen Film. I'm really glad you mentioned that, because maybe that's sort of one of the unheralded things you guys do that people don't know as much about.
Yeah, I think so. We also have a youth jury. I think it's in its 18th edition for this festival.
Oh, cool.
So there's a selection of 5 students who are mentored by the programmers and by teachers to watch a selection of the films, and then they actually decide on what their pick is, and they offer a $500 award. And actually, the filmmakers have said that that's one of the most coveted awards, because, you know, you think about if your film is making an impact on the youth and they pick it, then you're probably onto something. So
that's so awesome. Yeah. Regna Jones from Aspen Film. We have the 27th annual Aspen Shorts Fest, April 3rd to the 8th. And it starts off at the Wheeler Opera House and will also be at the Crystal Theater. More info at aspenfilm.org. And before we go, I just want to say thanks again for the Business Challenge Grant from Aspen Film for our membership drive. We only have $14,000 left to raise to finish off our budget goal for this half of the year. And it's been amazing. Why do you think people should call up and support KD&K?
Well, because KD&K is a great radio station. Aspen Film is also a member-based organization, so we certainly understand the importance of membership and that being sort of the bedrock of the organization. But, you know, more than anything, I think people just, we're so lucky to have all of these resources, great radio, film, theater, art, all the things in our little valley, and it's great if people can support it and keep it going.
Well, and membership to Aspen Film, also something to keep in mind. I need to look more into that myself.
Yeah.
AspenFilm.org, the place to go for all the details. And like Regna said, you know, the tickets for these shows in Carbondale are very limited. There are a lot of special guests going to be in Aspen, too. So it's probably not something to sleep on all the way and wake up on April 3rd and go, oops.
Yeah, exactly. We've got some great panels and filmmaker conversations. And we do have a young professional membership happening right now, so you can actually get a full festival pass to Shorts Fest for the price of the director level membership, which is our base level. So any of those young professionals out there, this is your festival for sure.
Steve Cole and I are looking at each other going, well, we don't probably make
it. Yeah,
but,
I know you do. But those
young hip and young, hip and diverse. That sounds
exactly,
like me.
Exactly. So we do. We want to encourage people to come out and check it out. So
Regna Jones, thank you so much for coming in and being live on the radio. And, you know, Katie and Kay, really excited to be not only part of the Carbondale Creative District, but thinking more widely and partnering with Aspen Film, and really excited to have you live in the studio with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you at Shorts Fest.
All right.
You can get more info on Shorts Fest at aspenfilm.org and tickets at aspenshowtix.com or for the Carbondale shows here at Bonfire Coffee in downtown Carbondale. And as you heard, the Bonedale shows often sell out, so don't wait to secure your seat at this spring tradition. 11 months ago, revered local musician Frank Martin appeared on Express Yourself to show off his new CD, Blue on Blue on Blue, along with his producer, Dave Taylor. Please enjoy this Express Yourself in studio from April 28th, 2017. Jesus laid stones, only Jesus could roll away. What a great line, Frank Martin.
Thank you. Thank you. So I said a moment ago, I'm a sucker for a biblical reference.
Yeah. Is that because of your Baptist grandfather?
Yeah. That's that background. I'm one of these people who have actually read the Bible a couple times, cover to cover.
Lots of great stories in there.
There's crazy stuff in there.
Yes,
I was reading
there
Bruce
is.
Coburn's autobiography, and he read it just for the juicy bits about the really violent stuff in there. People's getting knives plunged up to their wrists and guts. I mean, it's the Bible, but
lots of sex in there too, but we won't go there, right?
We don't need to go there.
No, we don't do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were saying that song came out as a big fat groove and you sort of had to get out of its way, and tell me more.
Dave Taylor's here, who is Coolbrook Studios, who engineered and co-produced, and
hola.
We laid down the rhythm tracks, being acoustic guitar and bass and drums, and then Aaron turned around and did a djembe part on top of that. So the next time I hear it, maybe even listening to that night, we just knew we had this awesome groove going. And when everybody's head is bobbing, you know, and that's so much the goal. And so when that happens, that part of the, you know, the attention goes to not mucking it up.
I'm always reminded of what Tom Hanks said when he got the project Forrest Gump, and he read the book, and you know, he said, "This is just it's great. Let's just don't screw it up. Let's just, you know."
Yeah.
And that was it. Just get out of the way and let the song drive
yeah.
the rest of the project. You know.
Huh? Was that your big duty as a producer, Dave Taylor, for Frank Martin's CD?
Well, Frank was a pleasure. I mean, when somebody like Frank walks in the door, my job, I know, is going to be easy and it's going to be fun. And my philosophy is, as a producer, first of all, get out of the way. Get out of the way, listen to the song, listen to the music, let the music direct us. And we did that, and I think we did it pretty successfully.
Yeah, and then the pleasure of having Dave be co-producer was that at that point where I'm in there, I could be an artist. And early on, Dave would say, well, do you want to do another take, or do you want to, what do you think? And I would be able to go, you tell me, you know, you're driving. I don't want to be driving right now. I want you to drive. And that was a great relief to be the artist and the performer at that point in time, and not bear that. And another definition of the producer that I've read before is like, the producer is the guy who tells you you're done.
Yeah. And sometimes we need that. You know, as an artist, I need that too. But we need, yeah, sometimes it's like, you know, my first job is get out of the way. My second job is to make everything as relaxed as possible so the artist can be relaxed and do their best stuff. And I think my third job is saying, hey, we're done. We're done with this part. Let's move on.
Yeah. You know? Did you play live with all the players, or did you track things out?
We tracked all the all the songs with bass, drums, and guitar live. I think maybe Goodbye Cheyenne was bass, drums, and mandolin.
Yeah, we did all the backing tracks pretty much live.
Yeah,
and then we came back in and did the vocals and leads and stuff
right,
like that.
Right. So we were mostly, except for Pick Up Your Feet, which was completely live.
Right.
Just straight to the...
Right. You handed me that, and it was it was done. All I did was just basically master it, and it was already a sweet track, just the way it was.
What made that track sweet?
The groove.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, everybody laid down cool. Aaron had a really cool part. William played really simple. But he had these beautiful lines on his bass that were just like in the pocket. And it was also kind of let's just pull out this song and try it. It was kind of unplanned, so it had that taste of spontaneity to
it.
Which is
always great.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you rehearse all those songs with the players?
We'd played the songs, and so... We hadn't been playing it with the intention of recording it. I knew I wanted to record it, so I had a good idea where I wanted to go. Just in terms of the arrangement, you know, not doing it, you know, a shorter intro and not going too off on a solo. And
again, that makes my job easier, you know.
And the bonus was David McGavick was there and got a video. So actually, up on YouTube and off my website, you can see. The live recording of that song right there.
Oh, I didn't see that on the website.
Yeah,
I thought I poked around the whole thing, but maybe not. Evidently not.
Yeah, it's in there, frankmartinmusic.com. So, yeah.
How about that? Well, you have your guitar, Frank. I'd love to hear a tune.
I'm gonna do Pick Up Your Feet. I've been in a parent zone big time. Not me, my parents. My mom is recovering from a small stroke. I don't know what, that's a euphemism of some sort. So she's been in rehab, and it looks like they're going to move to assisted living. And man, I've seen my dad kind of transform because he's got a little hope right now at seeing kind of the end of the tunnel. And this is what this song is about. This is about Archbishop Desmond Tutu trying to figure out what he could do in the face of apartheid. And so Pick Up Your Feet. What can I do, what can I do, what can I do, where can I go? What can I do, what can I do, what can I do, where can I go? Listen to me, listen to me, you will know. Pick up your feet, walk down a road. Heart is heavy, my arms are weary, my heart is heavy and my feet are sore. Heart is heavy, my arms are weary, my heart is heavy and my feet are sore. Heart is heavy, your arms are weary, your heart is heavy, but I can open the door. Pick up your feet, walk down the road. Let's walk. Brother, suffer my sister, suffer my children, suffer, this is what I know. My father, suffer my mother, suffer my country, suffers, this is what I know.
Suffering's a burden we share. Suffering is why I care so much. Hey, pick up your feet. I'll walk with you down the road. Pick up your feet. I'll walk with you. Pick up your feet. I'll walk with you. Pick up your feet. I'll walk with you down the road.
Frank Martin at the top of his game right here at the KDNK studios. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
I wish the people listening could see that guitar that he's playing. Frank's a Gibson guy, and that's near and dear to my heart. But this guitar is burned, it's chipped, it's scratched, and it just sings like an angel hands. It's unbelievable.
It does, and you could see it on that song and hear it.
It's home.
Yeah.
I inherited this guitar. I was 21. My best friend at the time was a woman named Pam Reynolds, who I'd played with just when I started, I kind of quit school and started playing. Pam and I became friends at a duo for a while. She had two guitars. She had this Gibson, and she had an old Martin. And she was killed in a drunk driving accident between Colorado Springs and Woodland Park. And she was estranged from her family. And I had the Gibson and she had the Martin in her car at the time. I don't know what happened to that. And all her friends said, Frank, you keep Pam's guitar. So this is Pam's guitar.
Well, I mean, to look at it, it looks like something you would see at a yard sale. But yeah. It is such a gem of a guitar.
It was already scratched some, but I did a lot. But I'm a little mellower than I used to be on it then.
Now, that being said, pretty much any guitar in his hands is going to sound like that.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, and it's been that way for decades in the Roaring Fork Valley. Yeah.
Just trying to figure out how to play like me. That's where I'm going.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people listening might remember you as a photographer, and I noticed that you took the pictures for the CD.
I did. So
you're still taking pictures. I love that.
You know, I didn't shoot for a long time because I was really burned out of it. And when I started carrying around an iPhone, I got into a Hipstamatic app, which is kind of like Instagram, except it makes all the funky filters ahead of time, at least it used to. So I always like that about film cameras. You shoot, you have to pre-visualize what it's going to look like in film. And that allowed me to do that. Uh-huh. So I started shooting a lot more. So these shots of that bay, that's the ferry ride, that is the song Blue on Blue on Blue between Valdez and Whittier, from Whittier to Valdez in Alaska. And this is a shot in Utah that I was trying to see if I could capture the sky and just the top of the truck with my camera. A mail truck and a little bit of horizon line there. Photography was kind of got back.
You know, in terms of producing CDs, Frank Martin, you're not exactly prolific. But, you know, when they come, they're just such a joy just because it's been a while, and it's so cool to hear new stuff from Frank Martin.
Well, thanks. Some of these songs are old.
Are they on this CD?
Yeah, like Wings of a Crow is an old song.
Okay.
You know, some of them are new. Blue on Blue is new. But part of this was documenting some songs that needed to be documented.
Uh-huh.
But if Dave and my wife have their way, I would be starting on a next CD now.
Of course.
Aren't we? I thought we were.
We have the Hank Project to do, too.
We do have the Hank Project.
Tell them what the Hank Project is.
Okay, Frank and I are conspiring to do a Hank Williams Senior tribute project.
Ooh.
Band, project, little tour kind of thing. I learned how to play the guitar to Hank Sr., so near and dear to my heart. Where I came from, that was about as radical as you could get was Hank Sr. But we've been conspiring on it. I spoke with Randy Utterback. He's agreed to play fiddle for us when we get this thing put together.
Nice.
And hopefully we can get something going and do a little tour. Do a little tour of places where people can do, you know, dance a little bit, cut a rug, get out and do the old style 30s and 40s type country, you know. So
you can't go wrong with that. That's great. How about another tune, Frank?
Okay. This is Goodbye Cheyenne. It's kind of a character study, I like to think. Didn't work out well, I'll admit. Fast money, cheap beer, and such. There's lots of churches in Cheyenne. No preacher moved me much.
Another great line.
My mother meant well, I recollect. With words and deed and abiding love. I found it suffocating in one great day. I'd had enough. It's time to leave. Goodbye again. Goodbye again. Goodbye, Cheyenne. Get your things, no time to spend. Goodbye again. Goodbye, Cheyenne. Not a summons, not a higher call. Only thing I know about the law. It's not about forgiveness, it's about the cost. See my chance, I'm gonna run. Name misdemeanor is exactly that. You're offending society. Cross the line, you're not coming back. Leastwise, that ain't me. It's time to leave. Goodbye again. Goodbye again. Goodbye, Cheyenne. Get your things, no time to spend. Goodbye again. Goodbye, Cheyenne. '19 and '22. They got a record of what I've done. But it can't tell you who I am, so it ain't true. Who I am and what I've done sometimes don't seem the same. I watch myself hurt somebody else. My heart pulls a blame. It's time to leave. Goodbye again. Goodbye again. Goodbye, Cheyenne. Get your things, no time to spend. Goodbye again. Goodbye, Cheyenne. It's time to leave. Goodbye, Cheyenne. Get your things, no time to spend. Goodbye again. Goodbye, Cheyenne. Goodbye. Goodbye, Cheyenne.
Wow.
Lots of churches in Cheyenne. No preacher moved me much. Another line that I just...
There's so many.
Every time I would listen to that song, that line would just jump out at me.
Well, you know, a bunch of them jumped out at me, Dave, as I was listening to it today in preparation for the... There's an unfettered quality going on, Frank, that I'm really hearing strongly in this CD. It sounds like you've erased some boundaries and it's just kind of flowing out of you.
Man, I think... You know, what I know about songwriting and what I've studied about at song school stuff, that's unfettered. It's, as Peter Himmelman so says, you got to tell the editors in back of your head to keep you from embarrassing yourself. And it's all good. You don't want to embarrass yourself publicly. It's like he calls him Bob. He says, Bob, I know you're good for me, but Bob, I'm going to do some songwriting now and I need you to go away.
Nice.
And be quiet. So be unfettered is exactly... where you got to go, and it's hard. It's
yeah, and it takes space. A long time to learn how to practice that, doesn't it?
Well, it's like meditation. You're never done practicing.
Yeah.
It, you know?
There's another great line. He's just full of them, isn't
right?
he, Dave?
That's why he's such a great songwriter.
Absolutely. That was Frank Martin and Dave Taylor live on KDNK 11 months ago. At the time... Frank had just produced his brand new CD, Blue on Blue on Blue, which you can find on his website today at frankmartinmusic.com.